Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back, everybody, to this amazing week of Whiskey and Wisdom. We brought on the notorious man of many hats, Matt Ray. I know him from photography and taking all the best pictures of the most favorite things I have in Wilmington, aka food and alcohol.
Yep. Pretty much the main photographer of all of my friends in Wilmington as well, too.
But recently, he's become co-owner, full owner?
Co-owner
of the Starling Bar, yeah. Which is by far the best bar that me and Tyler go to.
Yeah, nice. It's right across the street from our studio here, so we frequent it often.
Yes, we're okay with it.
I'm sure.
But before we get started,
Matt was actually gracious enough to bring in a bottle himself for us to enjoy. So what'd you bring on for us, Matt?
Brought in the Thomas Handy Sazerac from the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection. It's 129 proof, so hope you didn't have plans for after this.
Nope, not at all. Not anymore, anyway.
It's a fantastic rye whiskey, 18 years in the barrel. So,
oh, wow.
It was put in the barrel when I was, let's do the math. I would have been about 24 years old. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Some food for thought there. Yeah, it's a fantastic rye. It's probably one of the most unique ryes I've ever tasted. Doesn't even taste like you're drinking, you know, bourbon or whiskey.
Yeah.
You're not drinking bourbon, it's rye, but.
Right, yeah.
See, I told you.
I knew, like, sometimes it overlaps. Not really, but kind of.
Yeah, so we're just keeping up with the rye theme. We just kind of, we did contradiction last week, and this week we're just.
Taking quite a few steps up.
Yes, and, you know, I got to give you some notes here. Oddly enough, there's some toffee, fig cake, and candied fruit, which is very interesting. It also has some finishing notes of allspice and coconut. So like the Boo Rye that comes out in the fall, this is also something I would assume would be a good fall rye whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's check it out. Cheers. Yeah,
cheers.
That smells good.
She's hot.
Ooh, wow, that's good. Yeah. It is very hot, though. Mm-hmm. You got to sip on that slow.
A lot of times I say when you're sipping a whiskey that it's that hot, that intense, that when you take the sip, you exhale first and get all the air out.
Yeah.
So the alcohol, the fumes aren't as right. Pungent. So.
No one ever taught me that trick. Yeah. I'm just over here just like.
Yeah, just taking it down like a shot.
I wonder why you were chugging it over there.
Well, we did Barrel Proof from Elijah Craig a couple weeks ago.
Oh, man.
And that was another one that, like, we sipped on that, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
That one's oh, my God. That makes there. A huge difference when you do that.
Yeah, it does.
I just, like, paid more attention to it. Wow. Learned something new every day. Whiskey and wisdom, guys.
Yeah. It never hurts to put a little drop of water into it. I mean, yeah. We're
yeah.
You know, crazy purists, and we'll call you weak for it. But honestly, right. If you enjoy the taste of it, it's, you know.
It's good.
It makes it, right. Brings out different flavors.
Yeah, that's really good. To your point, too, I mean, it does really very different than most ryes that I've had.
Yeah.
It's very unique tasting. I like it.
Yeah. It's coming straight out of the barrel, so there's no, they didn't add anything to it. So
right, yeah.
What was in the barrel is what you get.
No filter, no nothing.
Yeah.
But Matt was telling us, too, this is one of the Buffalo Trace antique pieces,
mm-hmm.
Yep. Which means that if you think you're going to get it in a liquor store.
Yeah,
when it comes out.
Yeah,
not
happening. If you do get it in a liquor store, please call me and tell me where that liquor store is.
Right,
it is probably in some backcountry store that no one even knows exists.
Yeah.
So I dream sometime about those stores that no one knows exists, and you walk in, and there's bottles that are dusty that have been sitting there for years, and you're like,
oh,
well, they have no clue what they have. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we were talking to Sean, and he was like, "Yeah, I was in Florida and picked up like." Bottles of Elijah Craig because the guy had just bought them and it was just sitting there dusted up because no one knew about it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Taylor.
That's because, oh, it was
E.H. Taylor.
Taylor. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah.
I knew it wasn't like
Yeah.
There was a balance. It had, there's so many initials. I'm like, can't you guys, I'm better with things that have just full names. Like I'll remember like Monkey Shoulder.
Yeah.
Like they're fun. They're different. You got like E.H. Taylor, Elijah. I'm like, your initials are way too close.
Another one of Buffalo Trace's.
Which one?
Collection. E.H. Taylor.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All of the best.
Oh, yeah. I had that at my friend's wedding. That was smooth.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was trouble. We drank like half a bottle before the wedding. And I didn't have hangover, so.
Right. So where'd your love of whiskey and bourbon and everything come from?
Everything? love of everything. No, so probably, gosh, it's hard for me to know where it came from. I kind of got into it more as a hobbyist, like just probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
Just some friends I saw had, you know, were talking about these bottles. And yeah. I was like, oh, I could get into this, you know, and started sipping it and just loving it and loving the story behind it, really.
Yeah.
The American story behind bourbon is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I've always been a fan of things like bourbon or even a good cup of coffee or whatever that brings people together.
Right.
Creates community and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Creates good conversation.
Yeah.
And lowers inhibitions a little bit, you know? And so I kind of got into the collecting thing. My wife likes to get on me sometimes because I'm, you know, I have little things that I'll go hard after for a little while and then on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I just decided to start looking for these bottles that I was hearing about and trying them. And then several years later now I've got a embarrassing collection.
Yeah.
My wife keeps saying no more bottles and I just smile and look away.
Yep.
You're like, what are you talking about? This was here last week.
Right.
What,
yeah.
I just took it outside real quick. Like,
yeah. Maybe you don't bring more bottles.
Right.
Where did this come from? I didn't order this.
Yeah.
But I'll keep it. But yeah, so and then we opened the bar. It was kind of the same thing, you know, the I've been doing photography for 22 years now.
Oh, wow.
And really just wanted to, you know, diversify for one.
Yeah.
But also just kind of create a place. I've always wanted a place for community and, you know, around a common joy.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in North Carolina, I couldn't use any of my collection. You know, they control it pretty tight.
Yeah.
Which stinks.
I know. We were talking about that, too, because we're gathering quite a collection of whiskey well, too. We're like, what do we do with this now? Can't even donate it to, like, a bar or anything and just be like, hey, Whiskey and Wisdom, here you go.
Yeah. Someone tells me there's a few bars that would probably take the donation, just not tell anyone.
Right.
Not the Starling.
No.
No, never. Of course not.
I like it. So we love the Starling, and I just – because I've been in the cargo district for a little while, just randomly getting my haircuts, just wandering around, checking everything out. What made you want to do a spot that specialized in wine and whiskey?
Well, a lot of it, too, was my business partner, Abby. Okay. She owns Salt and Charm right next door. She and I grew up together here in Wilmington.
Oh, no way.
I'm a native of Wilmington, been here all my life, and she moved here when she was a kid. And you know, she and I have always been really good friends, and both of our businesses kind of took off a little more than usual around the same time. And so I was always taking pictures for her, and she was always feeding me, and, you know, and then it just made sense one day. She said, hey, this space is coming available across the street. What do you think about a whiskey and wine bar? Because I'm a whiskey lover. She's a wine lover.
Yeah.
So I was like, I mean, makes sense. And so, yeah, we just decided to do it.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, how long were y'all planning this? I was like, month maybe. You know, it just it fit our personalities, it fit what we wanted. We both have always just been massive fans of Wilmington, the culture here, and just what it has been, what it's becoming, and always really just kind of wanted to put our mark on the city,
right?
You know, do something that was important, and so yeah, it's, you know, what I said a minute ago, it's about creating community and that sort of thing, and so that's what I believe we've done for these first 3 months that we've been open. And I hope we can continue to do.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you. Yeah. I think you've totally built a community over there, especially because I'll see people in Mayfair and I'm like, hey, I love your shirt, because they've like picked up a Starling t-shirt or something. Or like I'll talk to my friends and I'm like, hey, you know, you should definitely go check this out just because it's a nice spot. And everyone, like all the your staff, everybody, every time I go in there, it's just so nice and knowledgeable.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you go to a bar and it's like a club and they're just like, hey, what do you want?
Yeah.
But the your team over there is just, you can see that they actually care to curate an experience.
Yeah. No, it's probably one of our number one compliments that we get at the bar is our staff.
Yeah.
They are the most important thing to us, honestly. You know, you get people who love to work where they work, and, you know, you're going to end up with customers who like to be where they work. You know? So, yeah, our hats go off to them. They are the culture of the Starling. So,
yeah. They do an incredible job, kind of what Chris was saying, too, is that place could be packed out, which it is a lot of the times when I go there. Mm-hmm. And they'll make you feel like you're the only person sitting there when they're making that drink for you. It's amazing how they're able to accomplish that.
So. It made me feel that way, but sometimes I think it's just because a little biased. But.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know you all also have a few, I guess, older bottles in there that are available. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, you have a one that looks like a goose.
Yeah. So you can thank the North Carolina Alcohol Board for that. They control what is allowed to come into your bar. So there's five states currently in the country that are still control states where the government controls, you know, and regulates what you're allowed to bring in. They have to get that green sticker. Which is, you know, it's good and bad at times, but not as fun for someone who likes to collect stuff and just wants to bring it in. But the workaround for that is that there's a loophole in North Carolina. Not necessarily a loophole. They're open about
it. There,
but you can bring in an antique bottle of bourbon or liquor that is at least 20 years old and is no longer in production.
Oh, wow.
And you can purchase it however you want to, as long as you send to Raleigh pictures of all angles of the bottle to show that it is truly sealed.
Right.
It hasn't been opened and filled with something else, that it is what you've said that it is, the year and age and all that. And they do their homework. You fill out forms for everything. It's kind of a pain, but they send it back and say, we approve it. And now you got to take your bottle to the ABC, the local ABC. And then they have to, you basically sell it to them and then buy it back. It's a long thing. And then you get the magical green sticker.
Yeah.
On your bottle and you get to serve it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a fun process, but not a lot of people take advantage of it. Whenever I took our collection in right when we were opening up, you know, I sold my collection to the bar for it. You know, I have a good friend who was able to find some old bottles for me and I bought them from him, and then the bar bought it from me essentially.
Yeah.
But when I took them into the local ABC, all the employees came out and gathered around the cart. They're like, what is this? That Crown Royal, what's that? That's 1950. It's like, and then we've got the Goose bottle, which is a Jim Beam decanter.
Okay.
So back in those days, I think that one's from 1977, maybe.
Wow.
Back in those days, decanters were a huge thing because they're very ornamental, and people, you know, when they're done drinking it, they wanted to set their bottle up,
right? And
collect whatever. And so we've got the Owl, the Goose.
Yeah.
The Owl is my favorite.
Those are really cool.
So, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun little thing to have that, you know, we wanted something that kind of set us apart whiskey-wise.
Right.
Versus something that every bar is able to get. So,
it was hilarious because it was probably the second night we went out. And this was maybe a month ago. So, you guys had only been open for like 2 months. And me and my wife were sitting at the bar sweating our tails off because it's just North Carolina. And this couple who was like back in the corner, I was like, you know, I'm just going to order that thing. And I was like, they did what? And it was like, it had to have been like a 60s bottle. Yeah. And then the next thing, it came back, ordered another drink. That was from like 50 something.
I was like, I think I know which night you're talking about.
Yeah. And so we were sitting, I was like, what on earth?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, they just look like I don't want to open them.
I know, yeah.
But I also want to, because you want to know what it tastes like. Because I feel like whiskey will age. Like, obviously, aging in a cask is different than when you put it in a bottle. But still, if no one's touched that thing in, like, 60 years.
Yeah, it definitely stops the aging after the barrel, because you know the reason this bourbon is, or this whiskey is brown, is because it's taken on the barrel characteristics. Yep. It goes in the barrel clear, comes out this color. But yeah, once it's in the bottle, it's not aging anymore. But the cool thing is that distilleries change head distillers.
Right.
They change mash bills. They change a lot of things. And so the 1968 Old Crow that we have sitting there has an entirely different distiller, you know, at the time. And so there's a lot of different factors that were different then. I mean, the weather was different. You know, everything was different. The way they stored it was different, you know. And so you're just going to get something that's a little more nuanced, a little different, you know. Maybe not necessarily better than what you have now, but it's different. And so it's being able to sit around a fire with your friends and saying, yeah, that's Old Crow. I've tried one from 1968, you know. You know, and that's, you know, obviously the prices are a bit higher than we charge for it. But, you know, it's just being able to have that conversation that you tried something that's never going to be there in that bottle again, you know.
That's neat. So what's the oldest whiskey that you've ever had?
That I've ever had?
Yeah.
And then also, what's the oldest one at Starling?
Yeah. Currently? Honestly, one of those are probably the oldest I've had. I haven't tried the 1950 Crown Royal that we have on the shelf yet, but that is the oldest bottle we have.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if it's... Actually, I think it has been opened, but I haven't tried it yet, which reminds me, I probably need to go try it.
Right.
I should have brought that today. Yeah.
That once it's open, you're like,
right.
But the funny thing is they haven't changed their bottle a whole lot. So we have customers that come in and say, hey, can I get an old fashioned with that Crown Royal? We're like, you're probably not going to want to do that.
Are you sure?
I mean, I can, but you know.
Right. First of all, you're probably not the price that you're thinking. Right, and second of all, you probably, that's not how you want to drink
it.
Yeah. It was like, I have a small collection at my house, and we had some friends over, and I was like, hey, do you want to drink? I can make you an old fashioned. He's like, sure. I'm like, so what do you want? It's like, can I do a Crown Royal? I was like, you sure? Like, I got Stag Junior. I got some Knob Creek. I got some other options that aren't Crown. He was like, sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you're making old fashions with Stag Junior, I'll come over.
Right? Yeah, I was like, hey, if this is how we're doing it, I'm coming over more often now.
I mean, every once in a while, I just like to be that bougie guy to be like, here, try this.
Yeah.
Do I have a lot of Stag Junior? No, I have one bottle, and it was received at a great price.
I'm sure.
That's what we'll say.
I dare not ask.
Right.
So, because I'm just laughing going back, because I just mentioned Stag Junior because I have that at the house. You also have the big boy,
the George T. Stag.
Yes. Have you had Stag Junior?
Oh yeah.
Do you think George T. is better?
Absolutely. Oh.
Yeah. I was hoping he's like, eh. Yeah.
I mean, no, definitely not. No.
If it makes you feel better, Chris.
You obviously have the best bottle.
Like, right.
No question. No, the George T. Stag is, I mean, the Stag Junior is, I believe, a 9-year age statement.
Okay.
Someone's probably going to correct me on this.
Yeah.
But the George T. Stag, again, if I remember, is a 15-year statement. So for me, it's all about that age statement, you know, the longer it has in the barrel. Some people believe that it can be in the barrel too long and come out tasting like, you know, like wood.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's just kind of a perfect. The 15 years for that one is perfect.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I think the oldest one I have is 21.
The Macallan?
No. I have Glenfiddich.
That's right.
I love Glenfiddich 20.
Never had it. It's just sitting there.
Oh, yeah, it's just
sitting there. Are you a Scotch guy or no?
No.
Okay.
I think you're just waiting for the right occasion, right?
It's one of those things where, like, I want to open it because with the whiskey podcast, I like trying new things. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, there's not been a reason for me to be like, yo, let's open this.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be, I'm going to need to sit down and just enjoy the flavors.
Oh, yeah.
And if my friends come over like, hey, let's have a drink, I'm not going to be like, yo, let me just pour you.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the top 5 more expensive bottles sitting on my counter.
Yeah.
I don't want to just like pour that to just be pouring it.
I hope your friends are hearing how valuable they are right now.
Right. just coming over for the hell of it does not earn.
I mean, now they 21. Know you got a Glenfiddich 21. Right.
I mean, I poured Eagle Rare. I mean, it's not that rare, but we talked about this. Mm-hmm. But the fact that most people can't get it, I'm like, sure, I'll pour you some of that.
Yeah.
Just because I can.
Yeah. Be grateful.
Right. For what you get here.
can't always get what you want.
I think there's a song about that.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right. So going back a little bit, so you've been doing photography for a while, like you said.
Yeah.
And how'd you get involved in photography?
Oh, that's a much funner story.
Yeah.
I had moved to Seattle for just a little while.
Oh, okay.
And while I was there, just kind of really got into disposable cameras and taking pictures all the time. Essentially lived there by myself. You know, I moved away from, I grew up in Wilmington. And
yeah.
Just moved away to spread my wings a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So you went to the far other side of the whole country.
Yeah, how far can I get to the other coast? And so taking a lot of pictures, and I was a kitchen manager there at Qdoba Mexican Grill.
Yeah.
And one day on my lunch break, I just decided to run to the mall on a whim and pick up a Canon film camera, mm-hmm. you know, at the time. That was a big deal at the time.
Right.
And it just kind of took over at that point. And I moved from there to Charlotte to go to school. And while I was in Charlotte, you know, people would see me with the camera all the time and ask me to shoot stuff. And,
right.
But when I got to Charlotte, I became a manager at a Port City Java in the area. And while I was there, a lady walked in. I was taking her order, and she was on her phone, which is typically annoying. But
yeah.
She was on her phone with the executives from ESPN and the NFL.
Oh, wow.
And Charlotte was about to do an NFL season kickoff.
Mm. Yes.
Or with a lot of their sponsors. And she holds her phone down, and she says, "Excuse me, do you know a photographer?" And I'm like, as a matter of fact, she said, "We have an event and Joe Namath is coming with all of our sponsors, and we need a photographer to photograph him with all of our sponsors." And I didn't even hesitate. I was like, "Yeah, I'll do it." she gets back on the phone and she goes, "Hey, we got a photographer." A little piece of my heart like just dropped, and I was like, "What did I just do? Like, let me make your latte real quick." And then, I'm gonna go in the bathroom and cry.
Right.
So
that's an amazing story.
Yeah. So it's funny because I always say my highest profile shoot remains my first shoot.
Yeah.
So I photographed Joe Namath all day. It was just he and I, and every time people kept coming in, and
you know, oh my god,
and he was. Definitely the guy that he was known to be, you know.
Yeah.
He loved the ladies. But I remember when I showed up there, all of their, you know, grips and
right.
you know, people and staff rolled up with all their equipment. They're like, "Hey, man, what are you working with?" And I'm like, I brought in all the equipment I could so it looked like I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I kept just like going around their questions, like, you know, like, "Oh, I got to take this call. Hold on," you know.
Right.
To make it feel like you
did. Yeah. Yeah, like you did. Yeah, so anyway, I managed to avoid the questions. But
oh, that's awesome.
I always tell people to fake it till you make it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, it's definitely a fake it till you make it type of deal, and clearly it worked.
I recently found, when I moved last year, I recently found the pay stub from that job.
Oh, really?
I kept the pay stub from the check.
Did you grossly misunderprice them?
I drastically misunderquoted them. They got that whole gig for $200.
Ooh, no. They were probably like, "Oh, hell yeah."
I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." And I look back at that now, I was like, "Man, like I don't leave the house for $200."
Right.
that sounded pretentious to say that. But
still, like,
no, I mean, it shows the quality. But
I remember, like, I shot some weddings as an assistant photographer for years. And I remember, like, when people were starting, and this was like 2007, people were like, you know, "I'm going to go with this photographer because they're only charging me like $400. I'm like, "What? Mm-hmm. Why are they charging you $400? Yeah. Do they not know their time and their worth?" Because I knew I was making $1.50. So if I'm making that much, you should be getting charged more.
Yeah. When I was DJing, it was the same concept too. My business partner at the time and I went to a high school to put a bid in for their prom. Okay. And it was our first like big high school. We were doing like Sweet 16s before, and we were 17 years old, so we didn't know what the hell we were doing. We just knew we could play music. And so we went to this high school and we gave our bid, and one of the directors who was in charge of it had heard us play at a Sweet 16 before. And they're like, "Oh, they know what they're doing." And so we go in and we present our bid, and then right when we presented the bid, they all looked at each other and they go, "You're hired." And we were like, "Shit."
Yeah.
We walked out and we're like, "We didn't do the right price."
I mean, wait, let me go back.
Right. I mean, add a zero to that.
There lies the fun of quoting anyone. Right. I still to this day hate quoting people. So like,
there's never a right answer to anything.
No, there's not. Either you get the job or you never hear from again. You're like, "Wait, what was it?" what did I do?
See, I go back and forth because like we have quotes and at my job, and people will come in and they'll be asking for the most ridiculous, like, hey, I have this ring from like 1932 that my great grandmother wore that lost 2 stones on this side, and I need you. And then I just give them some some stupid number, and they're like, oh, that's ridiculous. And they'll either say yes or no. And then sometimes I look at it and I'm like, that's decent enough. All right, here's my quote. And then even if I give them a low quote, well, so-and-so they said they'd do it for like $10 cheaper.
You should probably go.
Right. It's like, I've had it then, I won't tell you.
You ever just quote way too high and they're like, that's ridiculous. And you're like, oh, that was a typo. I didn't mean to put that zero
there. Right.
Yes. Because I also to do quote math too
high.
Too.
Yeah. I also quote too high when I don't want to do a job.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be like $10,000, man. I don't tell you.
Yeah. I will not say yes or no to me doing that.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yes. But it might have happened at least once.
So with everything that we were just talking about there, what's your favorite type of shoot to do?
Man, is this the part where I blow up my clients and tell them amazingly? You know, when I started out, most of what I did was weddings, mm-hmm. portraits.
Right.
I still do some weddings. Mm-hmm. I don't really promote that a whole lot, even though it sounds like I just did. But probably in the past 7 years is when I started doing food.
Oh, okay.
The main reason is because I just was tired of starving in the winter.
Yeah.
Because weddings are so seasonal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, especially here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to shoot anything in July, but you know, if you get fall and spring, you got to hit it hard so that when the winter comes, you're not searching for nuts, you know. But and so I was like, how can I make this more sustainable or whatever? And so I started doing food and getting on a monthly retainer basis with clients so that it was year round, just every month, keeping up with their social media and that sort of thing. But favorite things to shoot now are just, I mean, I just love shooting food, beverage, it's fun, you know.
And TJ Dunn.
And TJ Dunn. I mean, yeah, I guess I cut my teeth on shooting TJ Dunn. Yeah, and I love shooting people too, mostly in their candid state, you know.
Right.
I think that's the beautiful best state, though.
Oh, it is. Absolutely is. Yeah. And I actually love having the bar now because obviously I do all the photography for it.
Right.
But it's the cool thing is no one's paying me for it. I'm doing it myself. Yeah. And so it's just completely, I get to go there and just fire off on people candidly enjoying, you know, right, life, and I get to shoot the drinks how I want. I get, you know.
That's what I like. That.
Yeah. His food photography is where I got my inspiration the other day.
Oh, yeah.
We went to Vicious Biscuit.
Oh.
The new, biscuit spot in town.
I'm watching those guys.
I've been there twice already.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did they open yesterday?
They opened today.
Oh. Wow.
Long story short, we kind of showed up before they opened.
Yeah.
But the GM there, or one of the managers there, used to be the GM at Ruth's Chris.
Yeah.
Mm. And I was like, that is a big difference. But I feel like he has the energy to like maintain a team of like even like kids, I would say, because they're usually like younger people in a spot like that. But his mentality for that business, I'm excited for.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, it looks like it'll be fun.
Yeah. And you got some good shots of the biscuit.
Yes. Not as good as yours.
I quit. Now, they've got a couple locations, don't they, in Charlotte?
Yes. Yeah. So they started, I think, in South Carolina.
Okay.
And so now they're like franchised out in kind of like different spots.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're officially open. To me, it's the replacement of Rise. I liked Rise.
They're in the same location, aren't they?
No. Oh. So Rise was in the Landfall Shopping Center next to the Terrazzo's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Vicious Biscuit took over where the IMAX shop was. It's next to the FedEx store in the Forum.
Yeah, where True Blue is.
Yep.
Yep, yeah. On the other side.
So True Blue's in that first one you pull in, the next one behind it. Same. I was like,
I just know it as a place where True Blue and Boom Pilates is.
Exactly. Yes. You just posted a few shots from Boom Pilates, didn't you?
Probably.
Yeah.
We shoot monthly.
Love those guys. Wow. Yeah.
See, that's the town. Like everyone does. I love how big Wilmington's getting, but still how small like certain communities are. Like I feel like the art community is still a smaller community. Because, like, Boom Pilates is still, to me, a little bit of art because there's food involved, but they still, like, style it.
Yeah.
Put it together differently. and then you take photos for Boom Pilates, and then HP Fangs makes like some of their artwork, some of their stickers. I'm like, see, that's funny. Like, we just invite people on here just because we don't know anything, but we're like, oh, you seem cool.
Yeah, that's exactly what we do.
There's like 0 degrees of separation in this town.
Ever since I moved here, like 2 years into me moving here, I've always said that Wilmington is the largest small town that I've ever heard of. It's crazy.
Absolutely. I can get to almost anybody in two steps.
Yeah.
Oh, if that, yeah.
Definitely. And that's honestly, I mean, start going back to the bars that Abby and I grew up here. And so one of the things I told her, I was like, you know, we've worked hard for so many years to develop a good name and to do good business. And we both have a good following because of that, you know? And so why wouldn't we open something together?
Right.
You know, that built-in marketing power, of doing good work. And so that's kind of
at a place that already establishes community. So I mean, it's just kind of a full circle there. It makes perfect sense to do.
We couldn't not do it.
You know? Right. That's really neat. So how did, we'll eventually bring on Kaylee, but how'd you find her?
Oh, Kaylee from the bar?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. She's amazing.
Yeah. She's incredible. Great cocktail. She's
incredible. Man, how did I find her? That's, I guess, a funny story too. I photographed her actually years ago.
Oh, okay.
And knew her that way. And we have a lot of the same friends.
Okay.
I've known a lot of her friends for a long time as well.
Yeah.
But she had moved away and pursued her career as a bartender.
Right.
In other places. I'll save some of it so it's not a spoiler for you guys. Right. When you're right. But, and she, it's kind of coincidentally, she was reaching out to me when she was moving back into town and said, hey, I'm looking for a job somewhere.
Yeah.
If you know anyone who needs a bar manager. And I was literally, we were probably 2 weeks away from signing the papers that we were definitely going to open this bar.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which is really a good time to
get
a bar manager. But me, for some reason, I wasn't thinking in that direction. And I was like, yeah, let me feel some things out. So I asked around for other people. I wasn't even thinking about it. And then Abby hits me up. She goes, hey, Kaylee reached out. Wouldn't she be a good bar manager? I'm like, I'm like, good Lord, why didn't I?
Yeah,
like,
probably. Obviously,
she'd be amazing. And so it was just a no-brainer. I'm like, yeah, we need to hire her. Like, what do we need to do? Let's seal the deal with that. And so she came on board, and she's just hit the ground running.
Yeah.
I mean, she is constantly coming up with new stuff, and she's just meant for bigger things than we have, but she just does an incredible job. So.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting to see the difference between like traditional bar managers. Mm-hmm. Like if you go downtown, you Goodfellas or something, like just old school bar style.
Just slinging drinks.
Yes. Yeah. And then what you guys do, because I feel like there's a lot of energy that goes into like curating drinks and like coming up with different concepts. And I think you guys, you found a way to get some of the best whiskey and wine to help facilitate that.
Yeah.
Those concepts.
Yeah. It's, she puts a lot of heart behind what she does.
Yeah.
Every ingredient. And, you know, it shows, you know, it shows when anyone puts their heart behind what they're doing. And I know that sounds like a novel concept. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, if you will not just do something to be doing it, but actually putting the heart behind it, it's going to show. People are going to see it. You don't have to say it. It'll show.
Right, yeah.
You know? And so she really gives a lot of thought with what she does behind every drink. So.
It's funny too, because when I go to just like some random bars, like for like a lunch or something, and I'll sit down at the bar and talking to the bartender there, and they're like, oh, I'm just a bartender right now and whatever. I'm like, you do understand that if you actually enjoy this and you love what you do, like this can be a very like good career for you. It's just like finding the love where you're at now and pursuing
it. So true.
I guess it's really true with anything, but it's just especially funny because having the podcast here, I go to a lot of places to try new things, and just talking to those people, like you can tell who has the actual passion for it and everything too. And Kaylee's definitely one of those. That's awesome that you're able to bring her on.
Yeah, for sure. I was actually recently asked, like, you know, what would you say to a startup photographer or something like that?
Yeah.
You know, what advice would you give them? I was like, just be patient. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not hard to find someone who can take a picture these days, but you know, you got to just be willing to put in the work for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, it's definitely the customer service side of it too. Cause I mean, I know you have the personality as well. And I know some photographers that don't have really the personality behind it. So they might be able to take a good picture, But if you're not able to communicate with the people that you're taking pictures of,
yeah,
that makes a huge difference too.
I communicate to the food all the time. I tell the food jokes.
Right.
Yes. Get it. Like, hi, you're going to my stomach.
Yeah.
Listen, burger, I'm going to need you to smile more.
Yeah. Quarter turn.
Like, I always tell people that's my favorite thing about shooting food and beverage, that it doesn't talk back to me.
Right.
I love that.
So you don't have to worry about them blinking.
Right. Or complaining that they didn't like how their face looked.
Yeah. Right. Can you edit out this freckle, please?
So is photography still like your main gig?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. I haven't slowed down a bit. It's, you know, it's very full time right now. And just, you know, aiming at kind of looking now at how do you aim towards kind of a different echelon of shooting, you know, and a different market. And so I feel like nowadays, as opposed to when I started, the world is just getting smaller as far as who you can reach and all of that. And so just kind of looking at it like the sky's the limit, you know, you can reach to national brands and do national publications and that sort of thing. So
yeah,
you know, setting my sights on a lot of that while still loving my local,
right,
my local clients as well. Make sure they hear that, you know.
Hey, yeah.
Well, it's one of those things, like, I feel everyone want, like, I know, because we were watching Devil Wears Prada last night, that, like, people always shoot for really, really far, and then they get mad because they can't get to that goal.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you start in a spot, you put in that work, you know, you deserve to go to the next level.
Yeah.
So, yes, you're working with your local clients. Mm-hmm. And because you're helping them build that brand and build up, but doesn't mean that, you know, Blue Shark Vodka turns into a national business. You can't be their official photographer or something.
Well, that actually does mean that, because I'm exclusive with End of Days Distillery, but. And I do want to make that one clear.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
So when End of Days goes national, then technically you got a national client.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm so excited for their next round.
Well, that's a big thing too, is like I'm a big fan, and this was even the same with when I was shooting weddings. It's like, I don't just want to shoot your wedding. I want to be there when your kid's born.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I want to be there for each generation.
Exactly.
And so it's really the same thing to me. I don't look at local clients as less than national clients.
Right.
I see them as almost better in many ways,
mm-hmm.
you know, like to me, it's relational, and that is part of everything. It's like, I'm
right.
more interested in the heart behind the work they do and being there at every step of them doing that,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that's like Biddy and Bo's Coffee. Are you familiar with them?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Certainly.
I'm here. So we
should. Yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about heart behind what you do, those guys bleed it out of every pore, you know?
Yeah, that's the definition right there.
They are the real deal. And so I don't know if you want that story, but there's a story.
Certainly. Yeah, kind of let's
just
go into it.
Kind of just talking about what we're talking about here as far as, mm-hmm. you know, being loyal to where you're at. But when they first started in their little shop off Kerr Avenue,
mm-hmm.
I actually reached out to them and said, I see what you guys are doing. I see that you're about to open. It was on Facebook. People were like sharing stories about this. And I was like, I think it's fascinating, and I would love to cover your opening.
Wow. Yeah.
To photograph it on the house. And they never called me back. But the day before they were opening, I get a call back.
Oh, yeah.
And it was literally like the evening before. They said, hey, we're so sorry. It's been busy. We haven't been able to get back to you, but we'd love for you to come out and photograph. I'm like, perfect. I'm there. And so I was on my way there the next morning. My car broke down. My transmission went out.
Oh, no.
About 2 miles away from it. But it was a ribbon cutting. So it's like, I have to be there.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And in Wilmington, 2 miles is.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like you can just walk down the sidewalk somewhere.
So, you know, I got out, got my equipment, and just walked it.
Oh, wow.
Got there just in time. But she said something to me that day. She said, I hope you know that we want you to be our photographer.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, welcome to the family. And that to me was everything. So I'm like, you know, before you've even seen my work, you see the heart behind it.
Right.
You know? And so to this day, we shoot every opening in every state they do, which is
that's awesome. So cool.
They've probably got another 15 coming in the pipeline right now. So,
wow.
That's what we were trying to get Emily's dad to do.
Oh, yeah.
Is open up a Biddy and Bo's.
That'd be good for him.
They live in the boondocks.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. They live in Lenore.
Oh, okay.
Which is outside of Hickory.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm like, that'd have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
If they were any closer to Asheville, I'd be like, you should open one in Nashville.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think they're like in a solid hour.
Yeah.
And that's like going over the speed limit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's a nice drive, but do I really want to do it up and down the mountains?
Yeah.
Like an hour in the coast is different than an hour going over the
speed limit. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Put it on 80 and go here. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. I've done that trip a few times, and I'm just like, do I really want to do this every day? I don't know how y'all do that, man. So, you got Biddy and Bose. You like Boom Pilates.
EOD.
EOD.
Don't forget that.
I mean.
True Blue. You got to remember those guys.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. They're...
He's got all the good people.
I was going to say.
I was going to be like, is there anybody you don't have in?
Right.
Oh, yeah. There is plenty. There's a lot of photo love to go around this town.
So with True Blue, do you do like their pop-ups or like any of their new spots that they might be opening?
Yeah, everything in their brand we shoot. So
wow.
Which, you know, Bobby at True Blue is definitely someone y'all should get in this podcast.
We talked about that.
Talk about a man with stories, man. He is ambitious and, you know, just loves what he does and is constantly opening something new or dreaming of something new. So
I'm excited for their spot up in Hampstead because I have friends who live in Topsail, Sneed's Ferry. And we're like, hey, we need a spot that's halfway. And I know what is not halfway. And I usually like, hey, why don't you come to Porter's Neck?
Yeah.
It's really not halfway, but. And then, like, you get into actual Hampstead, and you're like, there's really nothing to eat.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that.
Well, no, that's just going to be a bakery and butcher shop.
Oh.
Still going to be great.
Right. Not what you're expecting.
If you want to go eat a raw steak, that's the place to do it.
Yeah.
Welp.
I just took the wind right out of your sails.
Yes.
Now, don't quote me on that. Maybe they're going to do some sandwiches and stuff there because I don't want to – I'd hate to go on record or saying that.
We'll find out when they open.
Yep.
I still got a few weeks.
Yeah. You got ways to go. So what would you say are some of your short-term goals for Starling and photography?
Short-term goals. Photography, I probably already told you that, really, but just the kind of aiming for – and not just national brands, but like publications. I love doing stuff in print, you know. I do a lot for Our State magazine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, and I love that kind of stuff. You know, I'm a big fan of print. I still, you know, like to see something, your work in print, not just on a screen that you're scrolling. So.
Right, yeah. There's something about having something tangible in your hands and seeing something. Yeah, it's neat.
So, that's kind of a short-term goal right now. And then for the Starling, I mean, man, just we're putting a rooftop deck on the very top of the...
Oh, that's cool.
You know where the lounge is?
Yeah.
On the top of that, we're doing a rooftop deck with a railing around it.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
It's probably in the next 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. So soon.
So I wonder how you get up there.
So you'll go up the normal stairs.
Yeah.
And there's a landing point. You'll go left and go up another flight of stairs.
Got you.
Yeah. So we're excited about that for the fall with sunsets and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We're excited for the fall in general. It's not going to be so hot. Yeah. Why is it going to be gone? We're going to have, you know, we're planning to hit the fall really hard with some cool stuff. So.
And that'll literally be like the tallest thing
in the cargo district.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So gosh, those views are going to be gorgeous.
Yeah.
We wanted to have it done before July 4th. So you could actually see some of the fireworks from that.
Oh yeah.
That didn't happen. Obviously.
Are you able to take a drone up over here?
Yeah. I do drone shots of the Starling. Actually, you know, it's funny you say that. You can't, if you walk between there and the end of days is a no-fly zone.
Really?
The cutoff point is right there on 17 where the Starling heads, so I can put it up at the Starling. But if I were to walk, I think, just past Cheese Smith, I couldn't do it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, like, I bought, like, a drone because I'm like, I just want to play with one. Super fun.
Yeah.
It was like a DJI Mini. Mm-hmm. I bought it, like, right before COVID, and I was just flying it around. And then where we were living was right off of UNCW. There was way too many trees.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, cool, whatever. Then we bought our house. Our house is literally in the flight path.
Oh, wow.
So, like, we got to the house. I'm like, oh, let me pull this thing out.
Yep.
And I, like, it flew in the house. I took it out the garage. And as soon as I, like, hit my cul-de-sac, it just went, you have 60 seconds to get on the ground. I was like, what?
Or we will shoot it down.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, I thought at least I could get, like, 20, 30 feet in the air. There shouldn't be a plane that low.
Nope. Nope, they don't care. Yeah.
Same with my neighborhood. Welcome to Airport Town.
Yep. Yeah, we're in Rachel's place. So it's on that side of Castle.
Oh, Bay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Wrightsboro.
Yeah.
Please don't come stalk me. But yeah.
So what was one of the hardest things of opening a cocktail bar?
Gosh, not being able to get the exact bourbon I want all the time.
Yeah.
But as far as of opening it, I mean, I would say just delays and everything. But the truth is we got open really quick, you know.
Yeah, it seemed like
kind of a good story that we were, you know, we announced in January.
Yeah.
And we were open by April.
I was going to say, I heard about it like relatively quick. But by the time you guys opened up, so I was like, I wonder if there's a lot more planning that I didn't know about.
Yeah,
like, no, that's crazy.
We didn't have a lot of horror stories with that, you know. I mean, our ice machine got hung up on a ship somewhere. I don't know. But so for the first 3 weeks, I think I was doing trips and going and picking up ice from True Blue at end of days.
Yeah.
They were graciously loaning me ice every time. So.
Oh, gosh.
I was the ice guy.
Oh, that's crazy. I didn't know that. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss opening night because I was working. But
I was there.
Mm-hmm. We noticed you weren't there. We almost didn't open.
Then you weren't going to make it. They're going to have to delay.
Yeah, hold off a little longer, guys. Right.
TJ took my place.
So oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, TJ.
That man is a...
TJ is great.
Yeah. He's awesome.
He's a legend.
Yeah. Anytime someone needs a model in town for a photo shoot, I'm usually just like, he's just kind of the go-to.
Yeah. I mean, he's the fashion guy in town. So, I mean, why wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Did he tell you all about Fashion Week?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I bet he was drinking a lot of whiskey when he told you that because he gets triggered by it. So.
He had a little bit.
Hope he hears that.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I'll make sure. I worked at Buckle for a few years. And I think the first year he started his Fashion Week, he had reached out or something. Cause I remember talking to him and like my manager at the time was going back and forth trying to help him out, like get outfits or something. And I was like, man, that boy is running.
Yeah.
Like there's so much. And now I know that those are no joke. Trying to put on like a whole ensemble event.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, he definitely got his, I don't know. Yeah. I'll say too much. He learned a lot.
Always have a random question for everybody.
Yeah.
This week, I'm going full random. What is your aura color?
What?
I feel like everyone has a color that they exude.
Gosh.
Or like their face. Because you always think, you're like, oh, what's my favorite color? And I'm like.
You spent too much time on like TikTok or something this week, didn't you?
No.
Do I get to choose between questions or
was going to say, what's the next question?
Your second question.
Is there a color called I don't know because that's the color?
No.
That's my answer.
Randomly, I'll come up with like some real one. Like the other week, I was like, so if you were an animal, what would it be? And my father-in-law was like, an elephant? No. So real talk, what is your favorite wine?
Favorite wine? Oh, gosh.
Because you own a whiskey and wine bar. So,
man, this is going to be embarrassing.
19 crimes. 19.
Shout out to Snoop, my boy. Right, favorite wine. It sounds super cliche, but recently I had the anniversary. I don't know if it was 10-year anniversary or whatever anniversary it was at the Camus, which is very cliche in the wine world to say, you know. It's kind of like Blanton's in the bourbon world. It's I got to get me a Blanton's, you know, I got to get me a Camus. But this one was just particularly fantastic because it was an anniversary edition.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I actually popped it open one night when surprisingly Bobby from True Blue came over to my house because he knew that I was cooking steaks for some friends. And so I texted him. I was like, I'm cooking, you know, I got some Wagyu or whatever I'm cooking for my friends. My guys are coming over. He said, oh, I'm off tonight. I was like, well, come on over. Like, you cook the steaks.
I was going to say, you're cooking it then.
So he did. He came over and he cooked the steaks on the grill. And I popped open that Camus and a couple other bottles that I was able to get.
Yeah.
It was a good night. A lot of jealous friends that night.
I'm sure, yeah. I was going to ask if you were the one cooking the steaks that night.
Oh, no. As soon as I knew he was coming, I was like, yep, I'm done.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah. I did my job today.
Instead, I picked up my camera because only Bobby's in my house cooking us.
Right, yeah.
So, other question. Are you guys going to have like a podcast for the bar?
A podcast for the bar? Man, you know, that's funny because a friend of mine another bourbon lover told me it'd be a really cool spot to do a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To just sit back and drink, you know, bourbon, compare bottles and that sort of thing. I haven't thought about the podcast yet, but.
So if you do a YouTube channel, you ever need to like redo some verbiage or anything. Mm-hmm. I know a spot. The Cargo District Recording Studios. Perfect place to
like, what are we getting at here? Let's just go ahead and get right to it. Would you guys like to do a whiskey podcast?
Oh, I would love to do a whiskey podcast with you guys. That would just be so fun. Just because I like trying like new stuff. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, your team is very knowledgeable mm-hmm. about the whiskeys and the scotch and the bourbon. And I think that like that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Like to have obviously a knowledgeable person educating a not educated person and just like talking about like, hey, you know, this is here or this is the notes in this and this is like the mash bill or whatever on this is. And that'd be just kind of cool. Sit back, enjoy it. Be like, hey, you know, this would be good in this mixed drink mm-hmm. or do this. I mean, technically the best video length is about 10 to 15 minutes. So
yeah,
just an idea.
Well, let's just up the ante and say that we don't even start talking on the podcast until everyone's had three shots.
That's even better.
Just to make it fun. Right. You know, let's see where this goes.
Exactly.
I would totally be down because like the first like minute you're like, what are they doing? It's just like quiet, just like cheese, some music going on in the background. And you're just like taking shots.
Yeah. The first 5 minutes is just taking shots. The last five is actually talking.
And then there's just dead air because everyone's collapsed.
Right. It's our 15-minute video.
They never said bye. Right.
They're just laying on the bar now.
I'm out.
Oh, I love it.
Good. I know. I think the staff over there would be down for it too.
Oh, they would.
Yeah.
They're down for whatever. So.
Oh, we got a whole setup. We could do that.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it after the podcast. So now that we are running up on just about an hour here, mm-hmm. I'll ask my last question, which is if you were to tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Oh, man. And we're already at an hour, you said?
Yeah. I mean, take your time. I mean, I have nowhere to go.
Man, that's a tough one. I spent so long worried that I wouldn't get to where I wanted to get. Mm-hmm. You know, as a young person, I think you're like, this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
But maybe that's a lofty dream, mm-hmm. you know, and you spend so long like wanting to get to this place.
Yeah.
And until one day you realize, and I realized this a little later, that it happens like turning on a switch. Like it can happen in a day, mm-hmm. you know, keep being faithful to what you're doing in the small things. And eventually you'll get to where you want to get, you know, but be patient about it.
Yeah.
And you know, there's no rush in life. And anything to me, the bar is about, you know, the bar is about slowing down. Mm-hmm. It's about stopping. It's about, you know, relaxing, being in the moment, enjoying life, you know, and find enjoyment in everything you do. And so I think I would tell my younger self to stop worrying, stop trying to be somewhere you're not and just mm-hmm. be where you are and be good at what you do. Pour your heart into it. Even if you're not the best, just pour your heart into it. And it'll show eventually. So
yeah, I love that. Kind of goes along with the quote that I read this week that was enjoy the journey, not the destination.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because you already know what the destination is going to look like. So enjoy every step on the way.
Oh, yeah. I tell myself a lot of times, like if I'm encountering something that is new to me or I'm a little nervous about, I literally tell myself, you know what? You're going to die. Okay. Mm-hmm. You realize that? I was like, I tell myself, I'm like, it sounds morbid, but I'm like, I'm really going to die one day.
True. Yeah.
This is literally my only chance to do this. So why in the world am I afraid?
Yeah.
Of anything, mm-hmm. you know? So.
Yeah. I like another quote to go along with that is, if you're not afraid of what you're doing, you're not dreaming big enough.
Right. So. That's the truth. That's the truth.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
Well, now that we're at the end, mm-hmm. you can plug yourself.
Yeah.
So, plug myself.
Yeah. How can everyone find you in the Starling Bar and everything else that you do?
So we're on Instagram, at the Starling Bar. Mm-hmm. Me personally, it's Matt Ray Photography.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
Cool.
Nice.
Not a whole lot more plugging. I've written 7 books. I'm just kidding.
Check them on Amazon.
Well, yeah. I just want to say thank you, Matt, for coming on. It was hilarious because I know we reached out, like we walked into the Starling like 2 months ago and was like, hey, do you guys want to be on our podcast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what was funny too, as I didn't tell you. So we were trying to find people just to fill up like our next month. Mm-hmm. And so I was sitting at the bar and you were like, hey, I saw TJ's like episode. Like, yeah. When am I coming on? And I was like, you free Monday? Yep. Like, sweet. Let's make it work. Let's go.
I was like, TJ can't get on there if I'm not on there. Come on.
Right.
Oh, but it was a blast.
Yeah. It worked out great. So that was perfect timing. That's awesome.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you guys inviting me on.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yeah. And
let me know when you invite Kaylee on. And
yeah,
I think you should throw in Bex and maybe Carly too. Get all three of them at one time. That'd be real fun.
I know. We were actually talking about that too. We were like, how can we get as many of those girls on here at once? So
just let them go on their funnest bar stories with customers.
Oh, yeah. That'll be like a 4-hour podcast.
Yeah. Ooh, we could take the traveling setup over there and just there put like a mic and just let them talk into it.
Yeah.
I bet that sounds like a lot of stress.
I wonder how's the setup over there? Like to set up in the afternoon before they get started, we could just put a mic up and just talk to them.
Oh, you could totally do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to shoot me for saying that probably, but yeah. Absolutely, guys.
I'll run it by Kaylee
in
first.
Fact, you know, go in at 7 o'clock on a Friday night. They'd love that.
I know better than that. Next time I go in, they're going to be like spitting my drink or something. Yeah.
Love we it. Do not condone that.
Right. Yeah.
But yes. Thank you guys for listening in this week. It was a blast chilling with Matt. Another one with a great vibe. Mm-hmm. But if you want to help support us, send us a 5-star review on all of your favorite podcasts, listening stations, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, apparently Spotify has a 5-star rating now that you can give us too.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, leave us a review there. If you didn't like what you heard, don't leave anything at all. like that's what my mama said. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all.
And knock you out.
Yeah.
if you ain't got no good stars, don't leave no stars at all. That's the modern
version. Right. That's true. Yeah.
Hopefully some of y'all will book with us in the future at the Cargo District Recording Studios. But yeah. Thank you again, Matt.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you coming on and bringing us this fantastic whiskey as well, too. That's right. Good.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.